Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that God is desiring to speak to every one of us today? How many know that? How many are ready to hear what God's saying? Can I just say that you got to come to the house of God wherever you go. Doesn't matter where you, but wherever you go, got to go in expecting God to speak to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Why go if you're not expecting to hear from the Lord? And what I like, there's a scripture in Revelation that says this: He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Is that okay? And can I tell you that God is speaking to the house? God is speaking not only in this church, but all the churches around the valley that are connected with the Holy Ghost. God is speaking something. Amen. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. You know that God has great things for you. Is that right? Don't have to be scared. I am no longer a slave of what?
Fear.
Hallelujah. God's got great things for us. Is that cool? Hallelujah. So we're going to start off here. We're going to start off reading this. If you would you mind just, as we read the Word of God, would you mind just standing while we read the Word of God? It's about 15 verses, but it might be, but I would like us to stand this morning as we read God's Word. Is that okay? There's more words that we'll be reading, but this is the beginning of this. And so, if you want to read with me off the boards, because I know if you read out of your Bible, it might be a little different. But if you want to read with me, that's fine. But let's just read the Word of God this morning. It says, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said to them, 'Go inquire of Baal-zebub.'" This is a king of Israel, y'all. And he's telling his men to go and inquire of a different God. Isn't that crazy? Why would somebody do that? So he says, "Go and inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, everybody say, Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And Elijah departed, and when the messengers turned back to the king, he said unto them, "Why are you now turned back?" And they said unto him, "There came a man up to meet us and said to us, 'Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die.'" And this is what I come. The king said this, and the king said unto them, "What manner of man was he which came to meet you?" And they told you these words. And they answered him, "He was a hairy man." Everybody say hairy man. Boy had a lot of hair. "He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said," this is the king saying, he said, "it is Elijah the Tishbite." Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. Elijah was sitting on top of the hill. And he spoke to him and said, "Thou man of God, the king has said, come down." And Elisha answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50, thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again, the king sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said to him, "O man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly." In other words, hurry up. The king's calling for you. Hurry up. I like it. I like to add a little. Is that okay if I add a little bit? It's okay, man. Get down here. Hurry up. And Elijah answered and said to him, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. How many know that this is getting a little weird? Yeah, come on, man. He said, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and did what? Fell on his knees. Oh, come on. And he sent it Elijah. No, can you go back just for a second? And the third captain of 50 went up and came on and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in your sight. Isn't that cool? Behold, there came a fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a cool story? My title for this message this morning is called The Right Approach. How many of you know there was a right approach? How many, do you know that? How many know that God looks at the way you come to him? Is that right? There is a way to approach God, you know. You see that this man figured it out. Hey, there is an approach that needs to happen. And he came humbly. Is that right? Isn't that cool? Find four people right now and tell them, your approach is important. Find four people right now. Tell them that, and then you can sit down. Amen? Praise God. Your approach is important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Four people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. You may sit down once you, that's what I say, come on. Glory to God. How many of you know your approach is important? Is that, you know it now, isn't it? And hopefully four people told you to hey, your approach is important. It really is. Do you remember the story of Jacob and his brother Esau and his mom? I think her name was it Rebecca? I think so, I'm not sure. Just can't remember right now, but I think it's Rebecca. Go with that. Let's just go with Rebecca. Is that okay? All right. So, and Rebecca happened to hear Isaac telling his oldest son Esau, hey, go out into the field and get me some venison. I'm about to die, and I want to bless you, my son. And Rebecca understood and knew the power of the blessing, the power of the words that were. See, there was no Torah at that time. There was no word of God. There was words before. And she knew the power of the blessing. And what she had, it seems kind of weird how she would tell her son to dress up and deceive his dad. Is that right? Because she did. She told him, when her oldest son left the house, she told her youngest son, look, Jacob, go get me a couple of sheep, and we're going to kill them, and I'm going to make some savory meat for your dad. And, you know, you're going to take it in there to him so he can give you a blessing. And Jacob's right away. He said, man, I can't do that. My brother's a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. How many are smooth men? Smooth guys. Yeah, I'm a smooth man. And she said, you know, don't worry. And so what she did is she put some of the lambskin on that had the hair, put it on his neck and on his arms. So she dressed them. See, she understood there was a way to approach his dad for the blessing. He went in disguise. But see, a lot of us might say, that's kind of weird, that's kind of bad. But see, she had a word from the Lord. Do you remember when she was pregnant? That the Lord had told her the younger shall rule over the older. And the elder shall serve the younger. She had a word that she knew. So she taught him how to approach. She showed him how to approach. This is how you're going to approach your dad, so that you can get the blessing. And he did. He got the blessing. His brother wanted to kill him. Is that right? He had to get out of town, get out, dodge. He had to leave so that his brother wouldn't kill him. Remember David? Oh, man. David, hey, I'll take care of this giant. I can do this. So much so that when the giant saw David, he goes, am I a dog? See, David was a little guy compared to him. Is that right? So actually, in our words, basically, Goliath was saying, hey, am I a puppy? You're sending a little kid for me? He goes, man, I'm gonna kill you. I'm going to knock off your head, feed you to the birds. But David knew how to approach that giant. Saul tried to put his armor on him. And he goes, I can't approach with this. I'm not going to try to approach him with this. He goes, so he says, I've got a sling and a stone. And sometimes we might think that David, his approach was with a sling and a stone that he was rubbing. But actually, he told Goliath, he goes, hey, you come after me with a sword, a spear, and a shield. He says, but I'm coming after you in the name of the God of Israel, whom you have defiled this morning. And I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. Isn't that cool? He knew how to approach. How many know it didn't look good? I mean, even Saul going, oh, I'm sorry, kid. Nice try, but I'll send you out there and we'll tell your mama. We'll call your dad. We'll send him a text. Sorry, man, he didn't make it. No, man. Hey, David knew how to approach. He knew. Hallelujah. It's important that we know how to approach. Do you know there's a way to approach God? Do you know that? I'm going to check this out. How many know we got a baptism this morning? Yeah, praise God, man. So, you know, and I'm excited about it. And but I do want to say this to you this morning, that there is a way to approach God. There really is. And I want to put up these scriptures, if you will. Oh, yeah. Jesus said to them, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And then he says this, no man comes to the Father but by me. Is that all right? How many like that? I love that word. Can I tell you something? Because that will dispel almost any other. You know, I mean, folks, I know that there's a lot of folks on this planet. How many know that? But the Bible says that, it says, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would have eternal life. Is that right? And so, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of religions out there teaching other things, but this is the only way to get to heaven. Jesus died for your sins. There is no other religion where their leader died to wash their sins away, to make it clean, to give them a clean slate. And that's what God has done for us. And that's what the Lord's done for it. So yes, there is a very definite way to approach God. And it's through the blood of his Son, saying, God, I come to you, Father. Thank you for what you've done. There's a way. He even tells us, hey, enter my courts with thanksgiving. Is that right? Like we did this morning. And then, Enter my gates with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I love, you guys probably hear me back there. I can do that all day long. Hallelujah. These legs will hold me up all day long to worship the King. Hallelujah. But there comes a place, and there comes a place where that worship becomes down on my face. Is that cool? That's crazy. There is a way to come. Let me give you another scripture. The next one I got, brothers. It says, be it known unto you all this day. This is Peter speaking. Be it known unto you all and unto the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation. I love this part. This is the word. This is what? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that right? No other name. It's only Jesus. He's the only way to approach. He's the only way to come to God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we're not religious. How many know we're not religious? It's not a religion. This is not another. And you know, sometimes people, oh, you're Pentecostal. I guess. Well, you're Assembly of God. Well, yeah, I guess. Well, you used to be Catholic. Yeah. So then you're Catholic. Well, there's Catholic. I love the Catholic Church because of the people in it. Not because of the system, but because of the people in it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because God loves people. That's what God don't care about your religion. All he cares about is, do you honor my son who died for you? That's it. That's what he cares about. And in honoring the son, you get to learn more about him. You get to study about him. You get to allow the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth, is what the Word of God says. So that you could become what God has intended you to be on the earth. Isn't that crazy? It's cool. It's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Was that the last one? Was there one more? This is what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says this. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many know that? God, when you believe God, God goes, yeah, all right. They're believing me. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you know that? How many of you know that God wants us to diligently seek him? Is that right? Is that okay? Can I tell you that? God wants you to look for him. Hallelujah. Sometimes it feels like God's hiding. Is that right? Sometimes, God, are you hiding from me? How come I'm not hearing from you, God? God, I'm asking you something. God says, diligently seek me. Come after me. If you do that, you're going to find that he's really, he says that you seek him with your whole heart. I want to talk to you about that this morning just a little bit. Because I believe that the time that we're living in is very critical for us to be seeking God. How many know that? It's critical that we go after what God is trying to say to us personally. Hallelujah. He wants to speak to you. He wants to bring you to the things that you have desired your whole life. You just don't know. You just didn't know it. He's trying to do that with you. But there has to be this element of me going after God. I've told folks before, I didn't pray for this building. I didn't pray for this church. I didn't pray to be a pastor. Isn't that right, Pastor John? It never come out of my mouth. But what I do, folks, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. I worship God in the Spirit. I sing in tongues. And I was on my way home after we left here, and the Holy Spirit said, oh, you prayed for this, Henry. You just didn't know you were doing it. And he said, well, shut my mouth. I said, it's God. Makes you say, well, I'm going to quit praying in tongues. No, not at all. Even more so. It's important, folks, that we approach God with the giftings that he's given us. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? It's important. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Isn't that cool? To lead us and to guide us into these things. And so what I just want to do is just want to show you some things, because just within the last few months, last 6 or 8 months, playing the guitar has just been really different for me. I would never hardly try to stand up in front of a bunch of people and play guitar and sing and do that kind of stuff. It just hasn't, I mean, I, as much as I wanted to do it, I felt as dorky as, I don't know, just felt weird. And I said, God, I can't do this. Something in the last few months has changed in my life. And songs that seemed like they're coming easy to me. I can figure the chords out. I'm getting somehow my ear is being sharpened. I don't even know how to explain what's happening. But while I'm playing and singing a song, and like, you know, I don't sing that well. And while I'm singing, it changes to singing in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. And while I'm singing in the Spirit, it goes on and on and on. Do you know, we sing a song here at the church that says that he sings songs of deliverance around us. Do you know that? That God sings a song of deliverance around you. Well, you know what? You can tap into that song if you want to, if you'll go after it. You can tap in. And what I've been finding lately, I've been tapping in. And I'm singing, and all of a sudden, word starts coming out of my mouth. It's an infilling happens from on high. Something grows, and I start speaking in my language, our language. And it's what God is saying to me. And it goes with the music. Isn't that crazy? It comes along with the music. Pastor Pat, I gave him a guitar. I didn't give you that guitar. You got to get back one of these days. No, I let him play. I'm letting him play guitar. Sorry. Okay, now I got to give it to him. Yeah, praise God. He's sitting in my office and he's doing just one string, kind of like Peter Gunn, dun 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 dun. I can't remember what song you're playing. But he's la ba ga ba le shi ba la ba he ba. I go, what are you doing? I said, what's that? He goes, I'm praying, man. Praying in the Spirit. And let me just say this to you. Those words that begin to come, if you'll stay there, you'll hear God begin to speak to you. It's so cool. It really is. I even thought about turning my phone on and recording it, but then I tried it. It doesn't work because it's weird. I mean, no, recording yourself is weird anyway. Because of the words that come, the words, the flow that begins to happen. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing what God will do if you'll open yourself up to his Spirit, to allow him to do what he wants to do. It's just really cool. It really is. I just want to show you a few scriptures just to remind you this morning. Okay? Was that okay? Hallelujah. Because I will tell you that when those words begin to come, they come directly to what is going on in your life. Is that okay? He speaks pointedly. He speaks right into your heart. He speaks that way. It's really cool. And when he's, all of a sudden, he's addressing things within me, and I begin to weep. There's a little electronic piece right on the top part of my guitar, right here, just like this one. There's that. I'm singing. Here it is right here. I'm singing. Tears are hitting this thing. I'm, oh, man, I'm ruining my guitar. I got salt running down in that electronics. It's like, oh, God, you're going to have to keep my guitar in good order. But it is an amazing thing, folks. And as a pastor, I'm telling you, this is a place he's calling you into. Not only me. Maybe you can't play a musical instrument, but you can sing. Come on, all of you. How many of you sing? Anybody here sings? Come on, nobody's going to raise a bunch of liars in church. Come on, you guys know you're walking around, you're singing a song, and you know, and as I don't know what I don't know. I was going to sing Hotel California or something for you. Give me a room at Hotel. I don't know, whatever. But that tune, it's the tune. Let the melody of the tune, whatever you want to call it, you have to get the technical terms from some of these guys, let that thing lead your voice into the Spirit, and as you speak, you'll find things happening, you'll find God speaking. It's really cool. Let me just say this to you. I'm tired of arguments about baptism of the Holy Ghost and about speaking in tongues. I'm really just tired of it because the Word of God says it. Amen? Can you guys say amen to that? Amen. That's what the Word of God says. You know, the Word of God says that Jesus is the only way. Is that right? And then it says about tongues. It talks about that it is when you pray, you're praying according to the will of God. I'm going to show that to you just because it's the Word of God. Just check it out. If you would, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. King James says this, praying always. This is right after the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with the belt of truth. And it's right after that in Ephesians here. And it says here, praying always in all prayer and supplication where? In the Spirit. That's what he says. That's what the Word of God tells us, praying all the time in the Spirit. and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Something about praying in the Spirit, it causes you to watch what's going on. It's something that's helping the body of Christ. Let's go watch this in there. This is the Amplified. It says this, pray at all times. Everybody say all times.
Amen.
All times, on every occasion and every season. Do you do that? Come on, this will help you. Pray on every occasion, every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's created, consecrated people. See, praying in the Spirit, what it does, can I tell you that I've got no idea what's going on in most of your lives? Is that right? Is that okay if I tell you that? But I will tell you the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what. So when you allow him to pray, come on, man. He will intercede for all the body of Christ. Folks, we are in a time in our planet today that this is so important to God. It really is. Praise God. Next verse, Jude chapter 20 says this, but you, beloved, how many are beloved in here? But everybody better raise their hand. You, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves. Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says this, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And then it says this, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I mean, when I read this scripture, praying in the Spirit, he says that you are building yourself up. See, because you are designed by God, spirit, a soul, and a body. That's the order that God has given. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. And when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself. So whatever you need in the Spirit, he's going to be building it. Whatever you need in your soul, he's going to be, the soul is there. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, he's going to be building it. And then whatever you need in your body, it's going to strengthen you. It's going to touch your body because it is the Holy Spirit praying. Pretty cool. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 7 and 8. And I want you to see this, I want you to see that Jesus was a man of prayer. How many of you guys know that? And Jesus came to show us how to do things. Is that okay? Do you guys agree with that? You guys okay with that? He is our example. He is the one that we're to be watching. Paul the Apostle said, I travail in prayer. That means that's what he's talking about. What we're talking about right now is what Paul the Apostle was doing. He was travailing after the churches so that they might, so that they might be in the likeness, he says, of Jesus Christ. Man, I'll tell you what, God is calling us to look like Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know how that's going to be accomplished? It's not really, really how much you can get in your head about the Bible. What it is, it's about your heart. It's about what God pours into your heart. Hallelujah. I know this is a weird word, circumcision. What is that? You know, circumcision is a weird word, but the Bible says, God says in the Old Testament, I will circumcise their heart. I will write my words upon their heart. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Come on, man. It's cool. It's really a great thing. Hallelujah. Let's read this one. It says this, who, talking about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. It's kind of a strange scripture, but one thing it's talking about is how Jesus offered up prayers with strong crying. Now, folks, this is what I'm describing to you this morning. Strong crying and tears. Terry was at our prayer meeting Thursday night. Brother Terry was talking about some ladies that were working for the mission. I can't tell the whole story just the way Terry told, but these ladies were working for a mission, and they weren't seeing any progress. They were supposed to be leading people to the Lord, and they weren't seeing any progress, so they wrote the guy that's in charge, and they said, hey, man, can you please transfer us to someplace else? We're not seeing anything going on. And the brother, wise brother, sent back a note with two words. Is that right, Terry? Two words. His two words were, try tears. When he spoke that, that spoke to my heart. God has been speaking to me that, you know, tell the body, I am expecting them to come in with strong crying so that they will see my glory in the earth. Is that okay? Come on, we're at that point, folks. We really are. This world needs us like it's never needed us before. And we can't do it in our own mental abilities. We got to do it by the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what God says. It's pretty cool. Hallelujah. Strong crying and tears. Look at this in the Amplified. It says it this way. Though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience. That's verse 8. Yeah. By the things which he suffered. Look at this in the Amplified. It says this. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions. You see that? Definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted, but needed. You see that? See, he's our example, and this is what the Amplified Bible is saying, this is what he's doing. Not only for the things he wanted, but also for things that he needed. Can I tell you, when he was in that garden praying, he needed some strength. Can I tell you that? Is it okay? What he was about to go through, the whipping, the scorning, the ripping off of his beard and the beating up to where like Pastor John said in his message that he was beat past any recognition that any man could tell. He was even a man. That's how bad they beat him. And he's in the garden and he's asking for strength. Isn't that cool? Amen. For us. Glory to God. He says, not only for that which he wanted, but needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was always able to save him out of death. And he was heard because of his reverence toward God. Remember the guy with the last 50, his reverence. Can I tell you, when you come to God, you make sure you remember he's a big God and he does love you. And yet there needs to be in your heart, say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Can't do it on my own. Can't do it on my own. I got to have you, God. Will you help me? You come in that form, he will always help you. He'll always help you. He said he was able, he says, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was always able to save him from death, out of death. He was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of God. He was praying. He was crying out, crying with tears, because he knew that he was going to be separated from his Father, which was a horrible position for anybody, not just Jesus, but Jesus had been with his Father from the beginning. But even for us, it's a horrible position to be separated from God. Do you realize that your sins will separate you from God? That's why God says, believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, he washes every sin away. Every sin away. He paid it all. Praise God. Let's go to a story here. Let's go to John chapter 11. I love this story. But what I like about this story, it gives us a picture of what we're talking about here this morning. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, I'm going to read, I can't read on my phone, sorry. Got an eye problem. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice what he says. He says, this thing that's about to happen, Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew it. So he says it. He says, this is so that I might be glorified. I'm going to tell you something. When what was about to happen takes place, it put an anger in the Jewish rabbis, in the teachers of the law, that they absolutely said, we have to kill this guy. We have to kill him. We have to. It put something on. So Jesus knows what this whole deal is about Mary and Martha's brother. And he says that. He says, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. How many ever waited for God? How many ever done that? God, don't seem like you're hearing me. God, are you hearing me? God, do you see what's going on, God? Come on, God. No, man. Anybody do that with God? Come on, God. Are you going to answer me or not, man? But he says, he remained in the same place where he was. And then he says, and then after that, saith to his disciples, hey, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you. And going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he said, after that he saith unto him, he said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. How many know Jesus was talking about him dying? Is that right? Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He's gone. Folks, we got all the answers, don't we? Isn't it crazy? We got all the answers. Oh, God, you know, I don't have to go. You got it, God. You know what? God says, I want you to go pray for that guy. No, God, you know, let somebody else do it. They can do it, man. You know. No, man, we got all the answers. And here his disciples are giving him a little bit of, hey, man, he'll be fine. Come on, Jesus. It's a long walk. My feet are tired. We don't got no food. We haven't eaten yet. Whatever, you know, they always got something. He says, hey. And Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he says this, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. You see that? He's saying, I want you to believe. Believe what? Oh, you watch what he brings them to believe. It's coming. It's cool. That you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go. I like the drama in this starting again. Let us go. That we may die with him. Oh, man, come on. Then when Jesus came, now here Jesus is on. Remember, we're talking about the approach. We're talking about how to approach God. Jesus has shown us something about approaching, okay? And he's approaching this city. He says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Here Martha is now approaching Jesus, and she meets him, and this is what she says. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to stay there. Go ahead and go back. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Now, I don't know how she might have met him. It might have been kind of like this. If you'd been here, where were you? Come on, Jesus. Man, we've seen what you can do. We know. Where were you? I don't know. It might have been like that. Doesn't say that, does it? But, you know, being married for a while, I get kind of the idea. I know what she's talking about. Hey, sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry, babe. Look, and there she goes. Is that... She goes, that's it. I've had enough, she says. Yeah. He says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to you. What are you asking for, Martha? What are you asking for? Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Now, what was she asking for? Because look at her answer. Martha said, oh, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he says, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What was she asking? When she said, even now, Lord, if you ask God, he'll give it to you. What was she asking him? What was it? Because when he told her, your brother's going to live again, she goes, oh, yeah, well, I know when the resurrection happens. What was she asking? This lady's got me confused. So I don't know if you guys know what she's asking. Let me know because I'm not sure. Hallelujah. But he says this. He tells her, if you believe this, you'll never die. Anybody that lives and believes this shall never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? And she said unto her, yeah, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Good answer. Amen. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calls for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town. Jesus was on his approach. Now, she's going to approach him. Now, look at the difference between Martha and Mary. Because he says, now, when Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him, the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, what did she do? She fell down at his feet, saying, same words, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother had not died. But she's coming. She fell at his feet. She's coming in a way, and she's approaching different. Do you remember she was like that before? Do you remember that? They were doing some kind, they're having a party or something in their house. Martha's getting everything all fixed up. And Jesus is in there, and Mary's in there at it. And the Bible says she's at his feet. And she's listening to him, and she goes, come on, Jesus, tell Mary to get up and help me. I got to cook all the food. I got to wash all the dishes. And you guys, I got to put a bowl out so you can wash your feet. Got all the stuff I got to do. And she's sitting there. Jesus says, hey, you're busy about a lot of stuff, Martha, but she's chosen the right thing. Can I tell you that Mary was a woman that stayed at the feet of Jesus? She loved Jesus. I love it, man. She knew how to approach Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, the Bible says here that he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And said, where have they laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And you see this, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. And I want to just say this today, because today, hopefully, how many of you know that's the shortest verse in the Bible? If anybody was to come to you and say, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? What is it? You would probably automatically say, Jesus wept. But I want you to look at this, not anymore as the shortest verse in the Bible, but I want you to look at this as one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I want to take you to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. When it said he groaned in the spirit, that word is translated in a way that I didn't like the way it was translated in the Greek. But it's translated that he was angered in the spirit. And somehow I go, I don't get it. God, what were you mad about? But then you were going to run into another word, groaning. He was groaning. And that one says that it was more along the lines of silent prayer. Silent prayer. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. This is what the Word of God says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, the word of God is telling us we don't know how to pray most of the time. Do you know that? Yeah, bro, but I'm a prayer warrior. I've been a prayer warrior for 40 years. How much do you weep in the spirit? Oh, well, I haven't really done that. I don't do that. You know, I bind the devil. Come on, man. We're talking about something different here. We're talking about a different level that Jesus shows us. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity. We know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. And then it says this, with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. It's not talking about speaking in tongues. This is talking about a groaning that comes deep within. You can't utter a word. All it is, oh God, Lord help me. And you go, and it comes up from within you. It is a groaning that the Spirit does that's within you. God's saying, let it unlock in your life. Let Him do that for you. I've been speaking to a lot of folks lately. It's just been crazy. People coming to me and saying all these problems going on in their life and all this and the other. This right here is exactly what God has been telling me to give them. You tell them to go back to their place. Go, if they got a closet place, wherever they pray, go and find this point right here, because God will pray through you. I don't know. I'm getting fired up because this is the most powerful. I'm going to tell you, looking at that scripture, Jesus wept, will be one of the most powerful scriptures to you, because you can begin to see what God is saying in these things. Hallelujah. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you begin to get this, you're going to begin to get a lot of other scriptures talking about when, like, for instance, when the Bible says that if we ask Him anything, He'll give it to us, and He'll give it to us because it's according to His will. This is what He's talking about. Moving into this place and allowing the Spirit to pray for you, allowing the Spirit to speak through you, and then... Can I tell you, when you get done with this, there's something about it, about this. There's this peace that begins to take over on you, man. You come out, you've found this place. You've wept before the Lord, and things, your circumstances might not have changed around you, but I'm going to tell you, you've got this peace within you. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see things begin to change, people beginning to move, things beginning to happen, because the Holy Spirit has prayed according to God's will for your life. Isn't that crazy? This is good stuff, folks. It really is. This is not a time to be saying, well, I wasn't taught about baptism and the Holy Ghost. That speaking in tongues things is weird. I don't... Forget all that. Read the Word of God. Find out what it says. Because I'm telling you this morning, God is calling the body of Christ into this. I was talking to one young man about this. I said, have you ever been to a place where you just broke down and just wept? And then after you got done, you were just happy. Your situation didn't change. And while we're talking, he's in the chair in my office, and he's moving around. He goes, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He says, I can't wait to go do that. I'm going to go do it, because what was going on in his life, I believe God was bringing him to this point. He says, look, this is the way to get it. Let's look at this in the Amplified. It says this, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. You see that? In your weakness. How many of you know we need to be strengthened? And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's bearing you up in your weakness. For we do not know what we ought to. We do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings. You see the word groanings? Too deep for utterance. A lot of you know what this is like. A lot of you have been there. A lot of you have been, man. I told you a few weeks ago about the young lady that I had spoken to her. She didn't want to lose her husband, and but yet he wanted a divorce, and told her, I said, man, just what you need to do is just when you find a good time to just ask God, ask him to help you. That's all I told her. Didn't tell her none of this stuff. Wasn't even sure she knew anything about this stuff, but just told, just ask God. She said on her way home, she was driving south from here, heading towards Nogales, that she began to ask God, God, can you save my family? Can you save my marriage? God, could you help me, God? She began to ask him. She said she began to weep. And then she began to weep more and then more. She said, Henry, I had to pull my car off the road, and I sat in there for 10, 15 minutes crying with this sobbing, deep, deep sobbing. She goes, and I don't even know why. A lot of times when this is happening, you're going, why am I crying so much? What's going on? Because it's the Spirit. It was the next weekend. Her husband, who had been telling me he wanted a divorce, said, man, I've been an idiot, man. I don't know why that was happening. I just don't know why. You see, God changes things. This is a place. This is a powerful place. Young people, if you guys get this, if you get a hold of it, it's the most powerful place you'll find. Because you will, the Word of God says, when you're in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And then it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when you come out of the presence of God, the Word of God says, you'll be led forth. You'll come out with joy, and you'll be led forth with peace. Peace will hit your heart, and God, the Word of God says, He leads you by that peace. You'll begin to see where God wants you to go. Folks, this is the greatest thing. Jesus wept. It wasn't tears like the folks around him. Let's go back to that. Where were we at? Verse. We'll finish up this. When Mary was come where Jesus was, they saw and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. These folks are weeping, but it's not the kind of weeping we're talking about this morning. Weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And they said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved them. You see, I know this was not just a light weeping, because the Jews noticed that. Look how he loved him. Look at that weeping. I know he was weeping from his bowels. It was a deep weep. It was a cry. Deep weep. That's a good word, huh? It was deep. And he said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even that this man should have not died? He didn't realize it, but Jesus was doing something about what was happening. He was on track. Can I tell you this? Listen, the Word of God says that Jesus is he intercedes for us. Is that cool? Could he be weeping over us in this? Folks, I know he is. And if you connect with the Holy Spirit, you're going to find out that he is. Because this is exactly what he's talking about. You connect with the Holy Ghost and you begin to weep. You don't even know what's going on. You've got no idea. It used to scare me. Seriously, I've walked in this. See, I would not preach to you anything that I'm not familiar with. Come on. Let's not. This is something I've walked in. The first time it happened, my father-in-law passed away. Then it happened again, my mom passed away. Got to the point where I was thinking, every time this happened, I'm going, God, what's going on? because God knows how to strengthen you at certain times. It's crazy. It's cool, man. Jesus weeps over us. Do you know that? In prayer. Because when you find this place, you're actually catching up with him. And it's crazy. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? It's okay. Ask God about it. Check this out. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. See where it says groaning in himself? That's where it says it was silent prayer. He's praying. He's not crying. He's praying. It is a type of praying that was happening with him. It wasn't just weeping. Jesus wept. He was praying for what was about to happen. This is cool, man. Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, came to the grave. He approaching the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. See, my whole thing with Martha is, what are you thinking? First she says, if you'd have been here, and now I know that you can do anything if God has it. And now she's saying, man, God, he stinks now. And he said, for he has been dead 4 days, is what she said. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. There's another reason you can say that's why I believe that Jesus was praying. Because he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. He heard him. And then he says this, and I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. The whole thing that was happening here, this was a powerful event in the life of Jesus. It was something that was going to show who he was to the Jewish nation. Because they knew, they heard about it, man, they heard about it, and the leaders at that time said, "This, it's time to kill him. We got to kill him. He is, the people are going after him. We're going to lose this whole shooting match if we don't kill him. We got to kill him. We got to kill him." And it was something that Jesus knew was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. It wasn't too long after this that he was arrested. They went after him. But what I like about this last part of this verse, this, folks, this is my expectation when these things are happening and I'm praying this way and there's weeping, there's strong crying coming out of my spirit and I'm talking to God and I know God is orchestrating this whole thing. What I like about this last verse, this is what I believe happens. Jesus said unto them, loose him, let him go. No longer to be under shackles and chains or anything else. See, this kind of praying will do what God is intending to happen around you. That's cool, man. It's such a gift. It is such a gift. Wednesday night Bible study, this thing has just been riling up in me. How many know what I mean? You know, it's almost like what the scriptures call a fire in my bones. It's just something I have to get out. I know the Lord wants me to speak more about this subject because sometimes it can seem aloof. You know what I mean? Sometimes it seems out there because we try to figure it out with our heads where we're not supposed to be trying to figure it out with our heads. God is saying, trust me, believe in me and watch and I'll show you. And God will take you to those things. Hallelujah. He's not here to hurt you. And Wednesday night, and I spoke something, and it so rang in my spirit, and it said this, that God is saying to us, look, I have given you everything you need to win this world. I've given it to you. His name is called the Holy Spirit. He's here to lead you and to guide you into these things so that you will see the glory of God in the earth. And so, you know what, folks? You know what? We're busy paying church. We're not busy about the things of what God has given us to do. And folks, we really need to look at our lives and say, okay, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Is this something that I need to be doing? Because folks, I'm telling you, God is saying, it's time. This world needs us. This world is waiting to see evidence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the land. And folks, the only way they're going to see it is through us. The only way they're going to see Jesus is by what we do. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna ask you to stand, and I'm gonna pray for you, and then we're gonna take a little short intermission so that we can have a baptism. And for if there's anybody in the house, listen. Sometimes we do things where it's like when Jesus told Peter, he goes, "Hey, I'm gonna wash your feet." Peter said, "Not my feet, man. You're not washing my feet." You see, sometimes the world gets on us. How do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we get a little bit almost like the world, and you know in your heart, I shouldn't be doing these things. I shouldn't be acting like this. I shouldn't be saying things like this. I shouldn't be. And you know that because the Holy Spirit's saying, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. Yeah, you shouldn't be. And sometimes it's good just to restart. How many got that? What's that called when you hit your computer and you what?
Reset.
God, it's time to reset. Maybe this morning, this will help you this morning. It's coming into the water, saying, "God, I just want to reset. Go back. Come back. Start again." Is that okay? Is that all right? It's cool. So if you would you stand? I'm going to pray for you. And then think about, as you watch people beginning baptized this morning, think about what God might be asking you to do. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for Lord, that which you have given to us, Lord. Your word says that you have given us the Spirit to lead us and to guide us in all truth, Father God. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help us this morning to receive the things that you've heard this morning. Lord, touch our hearts. We want you, Lord. We want you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us. None else. Nothing else, Lord. We desire you and you alone, Lord. Because we desire to touch our city. And Lord, to tell you the truth, Lord, we just don't really know how. We just don't know how you're going to do it. But God, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, that you would just fill us with what you're asking us, Father. With what you desire, Father, your will, not our will, your kingdom, not our kingdom, but your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, here on earth as it is in heaven. So bless my brothers and my sisters this morning. Lord, as they open the word, let them find things they haven't seen in years. Lord, let Jesus wept be a powerful, powerful scripture in their life, a powerful word to their lives this morning. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Let's give him a, let's thank God for what he's doing. You can sit down.